I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
Time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Mercy Sowah. In the headlines, NDC NPP ready to accept Supreme Court verdict. National House of Chiefs urges government to resolve and pass with UTAG to ensure uninterrupted academic calendar. Security persons warned not to facilitate smuggling of fertilizer to neighboring countries. Morgan Tsvangirai withdraws legal challenge against outcome of presidential election, and Saudi Arabia calls on Arabs to stand against attempts to destabilize Egypt. Security analyst Emmanuel Soate says the Supreme Court hearing has shaped the way security agencies are governed. According to him, the court has won the hearts of many Ghanaians and brought trust between the opposition and the national security. Speaking to Radio Ghana in Accra, Mr. Soate explained that the media, National House of Chiefs and religious bodies have a critical role to play in shaping the future of the country.
For me, the Supreme Court ruling did something phenomenal, because for me, it won the hearts and minds of Ghanaians. That created a platform of a little bit more trust and confidence between the opposition in particular and the national security. It gave the national security the opportunity to call the political parties to start a dialogue that, in my view, shaped the strategic coordination in dealing with security matters, particularly after the Supreme Court verdict.
Having said all these, what do you expect the two parties to do in terms of actions against our members who might want to compromise the peace of the nation?
I think that, at least, I know that sometimes politicians speak more than they act. In English, I think one of the words to describe that is hocus pocus. You say one thing, you do something else. But Rome was not built in a day. I think that the media has a critical role to play here. The religious bodies have a critical role to play here. The traditional authorities have a critical role. What do I mean? For example, the media. One thing I think the media is doing and can improve upon it is looking at history of what people have said in the past and holding them accountable. Because naming and shaming is a very critical tool. That is one. The second one is that you are very religious. And I think that behind the fence interaction, for example, pastors, imam talking to their members who have made open statements and committed themselves to holding not only themselves accountable to certain practices, but their members as well, would actually be held accountable.
You heard security analyst Emmanuel Soate. A deputy general secretary of the NDC, Kofi Adam, says the party is committed to peace and stability. The party is also ready to accept the verdict of the Supreme Court. Mr. Adams also asked all to exercise the highest sense of decorum and show respect for individuals and institutions, especially the Supreme Court. He warned that the party will crack the whip on members who break its code of conduct.
Our party has had the courage and has done so. And that is why sometimes publicly, when members of our party do things that we feel touch on sensitive things that may affect the unity of this country and its progress, you have seen leadership come out to condemn it and also speak about it publicly. You remember one time some members of our party had some problem with their church and their church leadership for doing certain things that they thought was not right and was against the interests of their party. What happened? The president of this republic, who is the leader of the party, came out publicly and said, ceasefire, get out there and then apologize to your people and get back and continue doing what you are supposed to do to serve the interests of your church. Quite recently, when it came to the naming of some facilities and the AMA chief executive did what he did, the president himself, he did not send anybody to that go and do it on my behalf. he publicly apologized and also went to the residence of the person involved together with the person who, in quote, allegedly did something that offended this industrious woman to actually apologize and carry on from there. This is the track record of the NDC.
The Supreme Court contempt case against John and Hosni Adoy might have influenced the actions and thoughts of the NPP and NDC to foster national unity and cohesion after the verdict. Don't you agree?
Like I have told you, that has always been the commitment of the NDC. If you look around countries, and I'm sure with the behavior of some persons, if they were in charge and this petition was taking place, I don't think that our members who would have been challenging or who would have put themselves together possibly to engage in activities like let my vote count and all the things that were being done would have been saved by now. But we have safeguarded the life of every Ghanaian and given them their rights to be able to speak, and we are committed to that because we are in government and we will continue to do so.
Kofi Adams is a Deputy General Secretary of the NDC. The chairman of the New Patriotic Party, NPP, Jacob Echebi Lamte, says the party has consistently showed that it's committed to peace. He said over the years it has showed by word and deed that peace is a prerequisite to developing in freedom. Speaking on Behind the News, Ms. Echebi Lamte said the calls for peace can be meaningful only if there's justice. He asked the media to avoid sensationalism and not allow inflammatory statements on the airwaves. Mr. Obechebi Lamte emphasized the need for healthy debate.
I don't think we really need to send a huge message because the NPP has consistently obeyed the laws. NPP has consistently been a party for peace. In 2012, we knew from the reports that we were getting that we had been robbed. We had the opportunity, the party had wanted to go out and rampage like I've done in many other African countries. We didn't. We decided as a party to go to the courts to seek redress, to strengthen the democracy of this country.
Well, you've pledged to ensure peace and stability of the country, but one would ask, do you have the courage to discipline anyone who may fall foul of the party's disciplinary code?
We've always supported law abiding. What we have constantly been shouting for is that there should be justice. Justice is the true base for peace. Let's have justice in this country and you will find that the country will always be a peaceful country.
What about people who make loose talks or intemperate language on political platforms or our radio platforms?
People talk in all sorts of ways, thinking that they are clever or they are showing themselves to be very macho or very strong, you know. We will try to keep such people off our platforms. If you say it once, then you warn them that if you say it again, you will not be allowed to speak on our platforms again. But the radio stations and things, they must also exercise the same sort of system. They must also stop people from saying things. If a radio station feels that it's getting more listeners by encouraging people to say outrageous things, then all of us should discourage that radio station. And the first way to do it is to not listen.
Chairman of the NPP, Jacob Echebi Lamte, the CDD has asked political parties to go beyond rhetoric and his own members who offend the law. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the program manager Paul Abrampa said, if political parties are able to do that, it will send a strong signal to supporters that parties don't condone wrongdoing.
You could hear from both chairmen that if any person from their device does anything on tower, they are going to disown the fellow. That is what we've been asking for over the years. And the public disowning and condemnation of wrongdoing is what is good for democracy. It's not just commitment, verbal commitment, and the symbolic gestures.
But delving deeper into the peace pact that was signed in Kumasi, would you say that pact really worked?
Well, yes and no. Yes and no, because there were issues that we cataloged during our electoral observation. And we realized that in all the regions that we had problems, sometimes you have a full report that 1, 2, 3 issues have happened here, 2 or 4 people have been arrested. The same political parties that were to pledge the commitment are the people who fight for their release. And when you look into about the third page of our conclusion, we said that it looks as if political parties, especially the 2 major parties, have formed committees who just go about bailing or releasing their people who have wronged the system and they have been arrested. And it went on and on and on and on. And you see that there was no physicality to the commitment, verbal commitment that they pledged for. That's why I'm saying, yes, the timing is not good. But if, only if, what they pledged, I heard my uncle Komneji saying that if any member of his political party does something against the legal proceedings or the legal framework of the country, his party is going to disown the fellow. That's all the things that we are waiting to see. If that happens, then it will discourage people in the constituencies who do something and believe that if I do anything, my party officials will come and bail me.
Paul Abrampa is program manager of the CDD. The National House of Chiefs has appealed to the Ministry of Education to help resolve the impasse between government and the University Teachers Association of Ghana, UTAG, over salaries. It said the immediate resolution of the impasse will ensure that the academic calendar is not interrupted. The president of the House, now Professor John Nabila, who made the request, also repeated his call on political parties to accept the verdict of the Supreme Court, which will be delivered by the end of this month. He was addressing the second general meeting of the House in Kumasi.
I wish on behalf of the National House of Chiefs to appeal to all political parties, leaders and their followers to continue to give peace a chance in the country. This appeal also goes to every Ghanaian as well. Ghana's position before the international community as a beacon of true and genuine democracy needs to be maintained and seriously guarded against. I urge all Ghanaians to make first and accept the verdict of the Supreme Court, that a decision which we know will do well to help this nation. We also appeal to both the print and electronic media to make every effort to help the nation to move on in peace and development. We have heard that members of UTAC are on strike, and we therefore appeal to them to resume lectures to ensure that there is no disruption in the university academic calendar, bearing in mind the consequences of any interruption of academic programs of the university.
The Minister of Chieftaincy and Traditional Affairs, Dr. Henry Seydou Dana, also spoke about newly approved allowances for members of the House and Queen Mothers.
There have been concerns raised about my office, concerns by the Queen Mothers about parity. So what I've done is to assure them that let us take what is there now. And when something comes, then the Minister will see what we can do to add them more money. I think so now that is it. But we hope that their concerns will also take care of probably in the next budget. Then three, I'm happy also to inform you that a letter came in from the Minister of Foreign Affairs a month ago to me, informing me of the wish of the Minister of Chieftaincy and Traditional Affairs of the Republic of Zambia to have the signature of our chieftaincy system in Ghana. I, after some discussion, they have indicated that the time of this will be 30th August to 10th September. And I have, on your behalf and that of government, accepted the invitation since they say they have that means to pay for the visit.
Minister for Chieftaincy and Traditional Affairs, Dr. Henry Seydou Dana. The news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. NDC NPP ready to accept Supreme Court verdict. National House of Chiefs urges government to resolve and pass with UTAG to ensure uninterrupted academic calendar. Security persons warned not to facilitate smuggling of fertilizer to neighboring countries. Morgan Changirai withdraws legal challenge against outcome of presidential election in Zimbabwe. And Saudi Arabia calls on Arabs to stand against attempts to destabilize Egypt. The vice principal of the Methodist University College, Reverend Professor Joshua Kudaji, says he disagrees with the decision of government to tax private universities. According to him, returns private educational institutions make is just to sustain the operations. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Reverend Professor Kudaji said private tertiary institutions rather need support from government in the form of subventions to enable them to expand their facilities. This, he noted, will enable them to absorb more applicants in view of the large number of school leavers seeking admission every academic year.
I am afraid I don't support, because, you know, private universities are not profit-making, but it's very sacrificial, and we really need more support. So if you suggest that you're going to tax them, then you're really going to take away the money that somebody may call surplus, but it's just money that should be used to develop. Like what you see here, these buildings going on here, Tema and Wenchi, it's costing 10 million Ghana new cities, and that's a lot of money. There's no way we can pay that and say that we have profit to pay tax. So I think that whole thing really needs to be considered. It's not business. We are not sharing any profit to any shareholders, and I hope that the whole public will look at this and support the case of the private universities. We need subvention from government and the state instead of we paying tax to government. What I think is probably a problem which government can help to solve is that many parents say that they cannot afford the fees for private universities. One suggestion that I have is that every Ghanaian who qualifies for tertiary education is entitled to have university education. The public universities cannot take everybody. That's why they invited private participation, which we are doing. What I would suggest to help parents meet this fee problem is those who qualify to go to university and who go to public universities are given a certain bursary. I think that the same bursary can be made available for anyone who goes to any other universities in this country.
Reverend Professor Joshua Kudaji, Vice Principal of the Methodist University College. A senior advisor to the President and Chairman of the National Development Planning Commission, NDPC, P.V. Obeng, says the Commission can only deliver on its mandate and bring optimum benefit to Ghanaians if the requisite legislation is drafted and enacted. It will also enhance planning and decentralization in the country. Mr. Obeng stated this at the opening of the first National Stakeholders Meeting on Planning Regulations in Tamale. Robert Anweka Tua has the details.
The Tamale meeting brought together over 100 metropolitan, municipal and district coordinating directors nationwide, as well as planning officers and representatives from civil society organizations. The participants deliberated on both the first and second drafts of the legislative instruments of the Commission. Mr. Obeng said the decision derives from the 2012 manifesto of the National Democratic Congress, in which the party promised that if it won power, it would take steps to complete the implementation of the National Decentralization Plan. He told the meeting that the draft planning regulations are part of the process of developing the necessary legal instruments that would enable stakeholders to undertake planning within the appropriate constitutional, legal, as well as national, regional, and district levels, taking deep cognizance of the political, spiritual, and socioeconomic factors within which plans are prepared and implemented. The Deputy Northern Regional Minister, Alhaji A.D.A. Fisheni, said the role of the National Development Planning Commission in development planning cannot be overemphasized, since it has over the years fulfilled its constitutional mandate under the NDPC Act 1994 at 480. Alhaji A.D.A. Fisheni was of the view that as decentralization continues to grow from strength to strength, decentralized planning must be at the center stage. He therefore described the Tamale meeting as not only timely, but also appropriate, as the government seeks to incorporate the views of key stakeholders in functioning out guidelines for the decentralized planning system. For Radio Ghana, I am Robert Anweka Tua in Tamale.
Municipal and district assemblies in the Upper West region have been directed to stop using part of their common fund to pay allowances of assembly members. Deputy Regional Minister Abu Kassam Bata, who gave a directive at the second ordinary meeting of the Lambusie Kani district at Lambusie, said the fund is meant for physical development and asked the assemblies to desist from the practice. He warned that any assembly which acts contrary to this directive will be sanctioned. Correspondent Swala Abdul Wahab reports.
Friends of the Deputy Regional Minister Abu Kassam Bata, who is also the acting DCE for Lambusie Kani, centered on security, health, water and sanitation, as well as revenue mobilization, among others. He said the district health directorate has placed emphasis on preventive health program. This, he said, includes the expanded program on immunization against the 6th childhood killer and other diseases. The Deputy Regional Minister said the Regional Coordinating Council has taken note of some assemblies using part of their common fund to pay allowances of assembly members. He indicated that the council will no longer accept.
Swala Abdul Wahab reporting. The Upper West Regional Minister, Dr. Ephraim So, has given a strong indication that he'll sanction any security person found to be engaged in the widespread smuggling of subsidized fertilizer from the region to neighboring Burkina Faso. Dr. Nso stated this during a meeting with some accredited fertilizer dealers in Wa. William Owusu Boateng has sent this report.
The meeting was at the instance of the Regional Coordinating Council and facilitated by the Regional Office of the Ministry of Agriculture. It was to discuss the way forward towards the stemming of the illegal practice which is inimical to development. The Regional Minister, Dr. Ephraim Avia Inso, said smuggling of subsidized products does not only drain the country's economy but deprives the less advantage of their share of the national cake. He said if care is not taken and the practice not halted, government will be compelled to remove all such subsidies. Dr. Inso said as the regional minister, he will not sit unconcerned for a few self-seeking individuals to draw back the development of the nation in pursuit of their parochial interests. To this end, he noted that all persons, irrespective of their background and social status, will be made to face the full rigors of the law without fear or favor if found culpable. The government subsidized fertilizer are part of efforts at reducing food insecurity, hunger and malnutrition, soil fertility, limited irrigation facilities and low access to credit. Smuggling is noted to be spontaneous in the Wa West, Sisala West and Sisala East districts, which are all closer to Burkina Faso. At a forum, some of the fertilizer dealers called on the security personnel to strengthen surveillance at the border posts instead of the harassment they meet out to dealers when carrying out in-house transportation of customs-certified goods. Some district directors of the Ministry of Food and Agriculture appealed to the regional minister and the regional director of agriculture to operate an open-door administration for information inflow that will lead to the tracking of the smugglers.
William Owusu Boateng's report. Ghana's hospitality is again being hailed by its neighbors and members of the diplomatic corps. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the outgoing Burkina Faso ambassador to Ghana, Sini Pierre Sanu, who met the Burkinabe community in the country after bidding President John Mahama farewell, lauded Ghana for her democratic credentials. He entreated his compatriots to be law-abiding and contribute to the development of both countries. Mr. Sanu, who was the dean of the diplomatic corps, applauded Ghanaians for their hospitality, which made his stay enjoyable. He said he'll always have fond memories of Ghana, which he described as his second home. He spoke to Asibi Bangu Ikela.
The community, the Burkinabe community, is well integrated in the Ghanaian society. On my side, this is a model of integration in our region. And for this reason, I thank all the Ghanaians to welcome us. And also, I would like to invite the Burkinabe living here in Ghana to continue to be disciplined, also hardworking, you know, the reputation of Burkinabe. I enjoy the support and I ask them to continue to be united and to help incoming ambassador in this work in the interest of Burkina Faso.
How will you remember Ghana?
I'm leaving Ghana. I'm leaving my home. I'm going back home. That's I'm going back home with Ghana in my heart. Today, the Minister of Foreign Affairs said that he appointed me as an honorary consul of Ghana to Burkina Faso. And I will try to do my best in this new assignment.
Sini Pierre Sanu, outgoing Burkinabe ambassador to Ghana and Dean of Diplomatic Corps, talking to Asibi Bangu Ikela. President John Mahama yesterday received a Japanese parliamentary delegation from Tokyo, led by Honorable Ichiyo Asawa of the House of Representatives of Japan and also President of the Japan-Africa Parliamentary Friendship League. The delegation discussed follow-up actions to the recently held TICAD 5 in Tokyo. Honorable Aisawa delivered a letter of appreciation from Prime Minister Shinzo Abe to President Mahama for his participation in the TICAD 5 and his congratulatory speech at the Noguchi Africa Award. The Ministry of Health will, by the end of this month, inaugurate 7 clinics as part of government's efforts to make healthcare accessible to the sick in the remote parts of the country. The Public Affairs Officer of the Ministry, Tony Goodman, who disclosed this to Radio Ghana, said measures are also being put in place to ensure that health providers such as nurses and doctors deliver. The Ghana National Association of Garages has decried the activities of some imposters parading as leaders of informal auto services artisans who are extorting monies from unsuspecting members, ostensibly to assist them obtain Codvet SDV grants from LESDEP. In a statement issued in Accra and signed by its chairman, Laji Stephen Dakpo, the Ghana National Association of Garages said it is the only recognized umbrella organization of artisans engaged in informal auto repair, maintenance and servicing. The Garages Association therefore advises its members and potential members to be cautious when dealing with such groups or institutions. A 38-year-old man, Kweku Mensah, who peddled narcotics at Bujumbura at the Liberia camp, has been jailed 3 years by an Accra Circuit Court. Presiding Judge Francis Obri also slapped a 1,200 cedi fine on him. Mensah was charged with possessing narcotic drugs without lawful authority, but after considering the facts, the judge convicted him on supply of narcotics. He pleaded guilty to the possession charge. According to DSP Peter Sechi, personnel from the Narcotics Unit CID headquarters on the 6th of this month embarked on an operation at Buduburam on intelligence report. Mensah was arrested during the operation with 39 wrappers of dried leaves. And on the foreign front, Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe's main rival Morgan Tsvangirai has withdrawn a legal challenge against the outcome of last month's disputed election. The MDC said the Movement for Democratic Change withdrew its petition because it felt the legal process would not be fair. Tsvangirai had mounted the challenge after alleging widespread fraud in the presidential and parliamentary elections that Mugabe and his ruling ZANU-PF party won with a landslide. Mugabe, who has led the country since its independence in 1980, has rubbished the fraud claims. And Saudi Arabia's King Abdullah has called on Arabs to stand together against attempts to destabilize Egypt. He said the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, its people and government are against terrorism. King Abdullah has urged Egypt and the Arab and Muslim nations to be united and with one heart in the face of attempts to destabilize a country that is at the forefront of Arab and Muslim history. He added that they are confident that Egypt will recover. To end the news, the main points again. The NDC and NPP have pledged their readiness to accept the Supreme Court verdict. In an interview with Radio Ghana, the chairman of the two parties admitted that peace is a prerequisite to development. The National House of Chiefs has urged government to resolve the impasse with UTAG to ensure uninterrupted academic calendar. Security persons have been warned not to facilitate smuggling of fertilizer to neighboring countries. The Upper West Regional Minister, Dr. Ephraim Nsoh, says he will not hesitate to recommend the sanctioning of security persons engaged in the widespread smuggling of subsidized fertilizer, and Morgan Tsvangirai has withdrawn the legal challenge against the outcome of the presidential election in Zimbabwe. The news was presented by Mercy Sowa in Accra.